Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. Preds taking on the Edmonton Oilers tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop 7 o'clock, pregame 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in a Predators assistant coach, Todd Richards. Todd, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning, guys.
Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Todd, obviously, and Luke Shen was talking about this a little bit yesterday, the results have not gone your way to this point. It is still very early in the season. So what's the message to the group tonight against Edmonton as you guys are searching for win number one?
Well, I think when you're in this profession, it's always about the improvement and getting better. And, you know, even when things are going well, it's a little bit easier to play. Sometimes it's a little bit easier to coach. But it's always about improving and getting your game better and, you know, and keep building it. So that's what the message is keep going. You know, there's some good things you do in the game. There's some things, you know, it's early. You got some new players in. Everyone trying to kind of figure out systems and roles and those types of things. And combinations is another thing. But trying to get everybody just on the same page so everybody's, you know what the guy next to you is doing out on the ice makes your job a little bit easier. So it's just trying to keep hammering that home and getting everybody, you know, kind of dialed in systematically and how we want to play.
So we've talked, Todd, some about Andrew Brunette has used the term summer hockey a bit. You know, you're kind of transitioning from just kind of skating around out there, shooting the puck, and actually getting into those hard areas, being more physical. What does that mean to you, and how much summer hockey still needs to be, I guess, removed from the game?
Well, it's you know, when you're playing summer hockey, you know, when you're warming up and getting ready for the start of the season, there's lots of, you know, turning. You know, winning hockey is really hard hockey. You know, stops and starts. It's blocking shots. It's taking hits. It's giving hits. It's a lot of those things. You know, that I just said that you don't necessarily do in summer hockey or, you know, sometimes even in practices. You know, where you're kind of avoiding teammates. But it's that hard hockey of those little things. And because, you know, when you're doing the swings and you aren't finishing checks, it allows the opponents to get to certain positions on the ice and beat you to those areas. And, you know, I think it was Sean Payton years ago talking about the Saints and how, you know, those inches make a big difference, you know, if you get on the right side of that. And it's no different in hockey in today's game. If you're, you know, 6 inches behind somebody and they have you beat, you know, to the inside or going down to your end, could be a scoring chance, could be a goal. And a lot of times it could be a penalty. So it puts you in vulnerable positions. And on the flip side of that, that's what you want to do to try to create offensive opportunities, to try to draw penalties. So, you know, those little inches of little turns versus stops and starts and finishing a check versus not finishing a check become really important.
So, Todd, you know, through the first three games, we've seen, you know, Stamkos has gotten a lot of really good looks. Forsberg's generated some good looks. The numbers, underlying numbers, would suggest right now that maybe you guys aren't getting rewarded the way you should be for some of the looks that you've created. Overall, are you happy with the looks you're generating offensively? Is there room for improvement there? How do you view the offensive part of this right now?
I agree. I think there's been some good looks. There's no doubt. You know, where it's just been, you know, a shooter versus their goalie and it hasn't gone in. We've had some good volume of shots, but as a coach, when you go back through the film and you start breaking it down, you know, that's where you have to be realistic with how the team is playing. And for sure, there's good things in the game. But there's not enough good things, you know, to, you know, there might be one or two games, you know, where you deserve the win, whatever it is. You know, so there's no doubt our record should be better than, you know, three losses. We could maybe have a overtime loss in there, maybe an overtime win in there. But again, when you go back through the film, there's areas that we have to improve on. There's areas that we have to get better at. And when you do that, you're going to win more consistently.
So the Edmonton Oilers, Also, you know, some other teams, of course, Colorado's out there. They're looking for a win, too. The Edmonton got one, but they had a little bit of a slow start, too. How is this team? We know the greatness of this team. How are they different from last year, though?
Well, they still have number 97.
They do.
And you know, and 29 on their team. So, you know, it's early yet to say, you know, and I haven't watched them enough to say, like, you know, this is different, this is different, this is different. You know, the one thing that they have is, you know, 97 can make things really different for you, you know, when the puck's on his stick. And obviously he's got good, you know, complementary players, and 29 is a great player as well. So, you know, you really have to do a good job. It's probably no different than, you know, the old basketball days. You know, Michael Jordan's on the court. You know, you got to try to keep the ball out of his hands as much as you can. You know, but to think you're gonna do that all game is a bit unrealistic. So, what we have to do is, as a group of five, is be really good at checking those guys. And you know, by checking, I'm not talking about a physical, you know, going into him and hitting him into the boards. I'm talking about being tight to him. You know, challenging when pucks are on his stick, and just making things difficult for him, you know, when he's on the ice, because he's an exceptional player, and, you know, one-on-one, he can beat most players in the NHL. So it's going to take a combination and a group effort to, you know, contain him, hopefully shut him down a little bit. But there are other pieces that they have that you know, make them a really good team.
Todd, I know that, you know, they've not played necessarily together all that much. It's been more of a situational basis when they've been out there together. But Brady Shea and Roman Josi, the skating ability that both of them have, when they are together and when they're out there in some situations for you guys where you want them together, what are the skating ability of those two players do for you guys in terms of that combination and the options on the back end there?
Well, the other thing it does is, you're right about the skating. They both are great skaters. You know, Brady's got some straight ahead speed, you know, straight where he can close, you know, defensively and kill plays. Roman's got some shiftiness to his game. He's a great skater, but, you know, he has that ability to beat somebody one on one. So that's kind of what the skating can do. Both of them can beat guys up the ice, and hopefully create some odd man opportunities there. You know, you watch how teams are scoring and scoring off the rush. You know, for the most part, it always comes from their defensive zone and having, you know, those elite skaters on the back end. Hopefully, whether it's anticipation or just outright skating somebody down the ice, or creating an odd number off the rush, and then hopefully we're generating. But the other thing that it provides a little bit in the offensive zone is two left-handed shots on the back end. And when Roman is playing that right side, you know, when the puck comes up top to, you know, if it is Brady who's out there playing with him, he's a lefty, it's easy to swing it over to Roman, who's already in that shooting position where he can look to one-time pucks. And obviously we know what kind of shot he has in that position. So it's their skating ability, escapability, but it's also just sometimes just as simple as we got two left shots up there, which makes it difficult on teams when the puck goes up the boards to the left defenseman and he slides it over to our right defenseman who is, you know, ready to shoot the puck.
Well, Todd, we're looking forward to the game tonight. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, guys. My pleasure.
Absolutely. Predators assistant coach Todd Richards, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. A couple of interesting points there. Like, you know, he breaks down, you know, some of the, you know, the nuts and bolts of it, the X's and O's, the Shea and Josi pairing. They've used it at times this year. It's pretty clear, like, those two guys together can be a problem just with their skating ability. You know, nobody, I don't know if there's a defenseman in the league that skates quite like Josi, just in terms of his explosiveness and his ability to create separation, particularly through the neutral zone. Shea can move, and Shea's 6'3" and like 220 pounds, and he moves well. Like that's kind of the one thing that stood out to me about those two together is I think that gives you a lot of options offensively, the way that those two can move. And defensively, you know, Yossi's always been a good defender. Shea is rangy, and they take up a lot of room out there. It's been fun to watch when those two have been together. They haven't been together all that much, which I'm interested to see as the season goes on. How much does that change? But when they have been together, it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, and as we talked about, you know, if at some point, like, does the math change in general at some point if Stastny comes back into the picture? I mean, I know at this point, who knows? But if that does happen, you know, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Is it just as simple as, okay, then Fabro's out?
Well, and eventually at some point, whether it's Stastny or Del Guizzo or whoever, like, they can't go through the whole year with just six defensemen. Like, they're going to have to bring somebody up at some point, be that injury or just be that, like, you need another option at some point too. So you don't necessarily have to do that right now. Everybody's healthy and you're trying to settle in here. But, like, Del Guizzo, good player. Like, he's not a top four NHL defenseman or anything. He can play in the league. I think they're really high on Willsby and what he did last year in Milwaukee. So, like, they have some options. Look, the Stastny thing is a little strange. Like, I don't really know what – I mean, Trotz has been asked about it. They've kind of left it with its personal reasons. And, you know, if it's personal reasons, they're probably not going to get a whole lot of detail into that until I guess they absolutely have to. But at this point, you know, he's been gone over a month.
I mean, he was one of the guys I was really excited to see the steps he would take after what we saw last year. He's promising.
Yeah, I thought he was for sure going to make the team. And then – you know, could play an interesting role with it as well. So I have no idea what's going to happen on that front. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up at 8 o'clock. The Rob Rant coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game.